appreciate the presence of everyone this morning. We're having a little bit of problems with our connection between the computer and the screen, so we're going to have to do without. I've got the slides here on the screen before me, but you can't see those. But I can't see it if I go back to the small print Bible. So bear with me a little bit this morning. If you want to, be turning to 1 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 and continuing down through verse 7. It says, "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, because he heard that they had anointed him a king in the place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, 'You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God, because of the wars which he fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build a house for my name. Now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say, for you know that there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians.' So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, 'Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people.'" This occurs about the fourth year of Solomon's reign, and he begins to build the temple here on this occasion. The work required thousands of workers, 7 years to build. And when it was completed, it must have been one of the most magnificent buildings in all the world. The gold and silver alone that was in it, that was well over $3 billion. And it was similarly built to the tabernacle. And like it, it was a type or a shadow of the church. So this morning, what I want us to do is spend a few moments and look at some points of likeness or similarity from the temple to the church. Both were built according to a pattern. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, you might be turning there. Says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans." So he had a plan. God revealed it to him. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 through 4, says, "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, or Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses." So we see Solomon building this temple, and he takes his own, out of his own funds, he takes 3,000 talents of gold, large sums of money, and they were brought to overlay much of the temple. Some of it was overlaid with silver, others parts were overlaid with gold. But what I want us to see is that he gave us a pattern. He gave Solomon a pattern, or actually it's David. David then does what he can, though he's not allowed to, or not permitted, to build the temple itself. So he passed the pattern on to Solomon. There in verse 11 it says, David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, all of the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the division of priests and Levites, for all the work in the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. So we see this pattern is a very detailed pattern that God gives to David. And yet David has to pass that on to his son Solomon. But I want us to suggest, not only was the temple given a specific pattern by God, we see also that the pattern for the church was also received from God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So here we see Christ paid the price for the church. He bought it with his own blood. In John chapter 16, verse 13, there we find that the blueprint was given to the apostles, and we see them in the spread of the gospel beginning in Acts chapter 2 on through really most all of the New Testament, how that they were the ones who had the blueprint, and the apostles did much of the work. Paul mentions how that he had preached the gospel and set the foundation. Of course, Christ was the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, we see there that if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we have to continue to watch the pattern, lest we find ourselves in violation of that pattern and be displeasing to God. And so we always have to be careful about that. Another thing about the similarities between the temple and the church is that the materials for both the temple and the church were imported. In 1 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians. So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people. Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the message which you have sent to me, and I will do all that you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by the sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food to my household. So we see again this idea that the materials for the temple was imported from the area of Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon being the principal cities of that which is still Lebanon today. And it may have been some of the places where this big timber, these big huge cedars were growing, maybe that close to where the New Testament Antioch is on the Orontes River. But they cut them down and then made rafts out of them and floated them down the coast, the Mediterranean coast, probably to Caesarea Philippi, which was not Caesarea Philippi at the time, but later became that. But or maybe to Joppa, one of those two places where they brought the logs into shore, and then they were transported from there to Jerusalem. But there's some significance about the fact that they were floated that distance rather than carried on carts or rolled on a series of other logs that were smaller, of course, and would bring them that way. It takes a lot more time. So they were floated, and the element of water becomes a significant factor in all of that. But the materials for the church, that is God's spiritual building, came from Satan's kingdom. Now, hold on just a minute. Let's turn and read that. In Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." But notice the material, where it comes from. It comes from the kingdom, from Satan's kingdom. They came from everywhere. That is, the people who make up this spiritual temple. Many were different people. Some of the most wicked people make the best Christians once they are converted. But in opposition to that, some of the best people in the world make the worst Christians because they're not fully committed to the Lord and not truly converted. We have to be careful about those kinds of things, not to get discouraged by those who fail to do all that God says to do with the spirit that God told each of us to have, so we don't get discouraged by weak and careless brethren. Another thing about the temple, both the temple and the church were built in silence. The temple was built without a tool of iron heard on the site. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." Can you imagine the detail that had to be to go into to cut all of these stones at a lime quarry a long distance from Jerusalem and then put it all together exactly? I've worked on a couple projects, three I think, that we use prefab walls and building houses and apartments and things like that. And every one of them, nearly every unit, had to have some kind of correction because there was a flaw somewhere along the line, either in the plants or in those who made those prefab walls before they got to the construction site and put up, because they had. Then you could hear saws and hammers as they would move things into their proper place. But that just to show, emphasize how exacting the pattern was and how much planning had to go into hewing all of these stones. The cedars must have been huge. There's very few of those that are left today. Most of them are probably half the size of what they once were back in Solomon's day. But they were huge logs and of course the Sidonians knew how to cut them down and knew how to make boards out of them or whatever. But the church was also built in comparative silence. The materials used are cut and dressed to size before they're brought into the church. Faith comes by hearing. So that hearing the gospel is necessary because that's what produces faith. And faith changes our mind. Repentance changes our life. Confession changes our allegiance. And baptism changes our relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, it says, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one body, but many. And then, of course, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so both the temple and the church were built in comparative silence. The kingdom of God today does not come with observation. In Luke chapter 17, it says, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And so, in reference to its advance in the world, it is indeed largely unnoticed. Destructive work is always noisy. Heavy bangings, things falling and crashing to the ground. Constructive work, by the same token, is mainly silent. You hear hammers hammering. You can listen, go around Huntsville and the storms we had in the last few weeks, you know, where people are replacing roofs and things like that. You can hear those things. You can also hear those big crashes when large portions of roofing and things that are shoved off on the ground. Really, we can see how the Lord's kingdom does not come with observation. Look at 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the account here is just before Elijah meets the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And he says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Drums make a lot of noise, but they're hollow. They don't have a scale to go on. They're hollow. Play one note, if you can call it a note. But Elijah, you remember, he called upon the prophets of Baal to cut themselves and do all kinds of things to make so that, you know, he is trying to ridicule them and their efforts, and said, you know, maybe you need to holler louder because your God might be off on a trip or he might be sleeping, things like that. But even the church sometimes has to suffer through times like that when people, and certainly in the religious world, but sometimes even in the church, men will make all kinds of programs and produce some gimmicks which are used in their various programs, and a lot of hoopla that goes along with what men do, but it's all empty. As empty as a drum. Why? Because they do those things without any Bible authority. And all of those things are still true even to this very day. And really, this ought to be an encouragement to those whose work is inconspicuous. What you do when you leave this building, for the most part, our fellow Christians are silent. They don't want to toot their own horn or blow their own horn, those kinds of things. We don't do that. And so it's inconspicuous. The spread of the kingdom oftentimes goes unnoticed by those in high positions, like the Caesars and philosophers back in this day, in the days of Solomon and in the days of the Caesars in Rome. The spread of the kingdom of God largely goes unnoticed because of those things. And like I say, it ought to be an encouragement to us. Just because we, like God wants us to do, we don't do it for notoriety or anything like that. But there's also a lesson here that not to mistake noise and notoriety or popularity for spiritual progress. Well, there'll be a lot of people that will look to that and think those kinds of things, but that's not the case in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God or kingdom of Christ will transform society by slow, almost immeasurable degrees, but it will grow. The elevation of humanity is very slow. And by the same token, we can see the downfall of any society is also slow. But we can see it in our time, in our lifetime, some of these things. And so the temple and the church were built pretty much in silence. The temple and the church were also built with glorious purposes. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He's talking there about individuals. Back in chapter 3, he is not talking about the individuals, but rather the church. In Ephesians 2, verse 22 again, says, "In whom we also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Did God's presence literally exist in the tabernacle, most holy place? What about in the most holy place in the temple that Solomon was building? What about today? Where does God dwell? He dwells in our hearts by faith. The temple was overlaid with gold and silver, which was an emblem of purity. And God expects the church to keep itself pure. We could read a number of passages there. For 2 Corinthians chapter 6, certainly, we can see those things there. So we are to build the temple of God today. Do we? Are we? What kind of building material are we? Or make it more personal, what kind of building material am I? What am I doing? What are my actions? Are we looking for the loud, big, showy things? If so, then we're not building according to the pattern. Because we're to become living stones to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Where do you stand today? Do you need to be forgiven of your sins to become a part of the temple of God? We want to encourage you to respond as we sing the song that's been selected, if you're subject in any way to the Lord's invitation.